Chapter 27 Openings. What was Neil LeJudas thinking when he stood up to deliver his opening statement to the jury? He was keenly aware of the two unmanned cameras on him. That much was clear as he meticulously buttoned the top two buttons of his coat. It was apparently a second new suit, not the same one he had worn the day before, though today's suit was the same hip three-button style. The shopping spree was a mistake. He tended to preen in his new costumes. He must have imagined himself as a hero. Ambitious, sure, but his goals matched the public's. What was good for Neil was good for everyone, except Jacob, of course. So no harm in that. There must have been a rightness, too, in seeing me at the defense table, literally displaced. I don't mean to suggest there was any sense of Oedipal payback in LeJudas' head that day. Anyway, he gave no outward sign of it. As he arranged his new coat and stood for a moment plumping for the jury, the two juries, I should say, one in court, one on the other side of the TV cameras, I saw only a young man's vanity. I could not hate him or even begrudge him a little self-satisfaction. He had graduated, grown up. He was finally the man. We all have felt such things at one time or another. Oedipal or not, it is a pleasure after long years to stand in our father's place, and it is a perfectly innocent pleasure. Anyway, why blame Oedipus? He was a victim. Poor Oedipus never meant to hurt anybody. LeJudas nodded toward the judge. Show the jury you are respectful. He glared balefully at Jacob as he passed. And that you are not afraid of the defendant, because if you do not have the courage to look him in the eye and say guilty, how can you expect the jury to do it? He stood directly in front of the jury with his fingertips resting on the front rail of the jury box. Close up the space between you. Make them feel you are one of them. A teenage boy, he said. Found dead. In a forest called Cold Spring Park. Early on a spring morning. A 14-year-old boy stabbed 3 times in a line across the chest and tossed down an embankment slick with mud and wet leaves and left to die face down less than a quarter mile from the school he'd been walking to. A quarter mile from the home he'd left only minutes before. His eyes roamed across the jury box. And the whole thing, the decision to do this, the choice, to take a life, to take this boy's life, it only takes a second. He let the phrase hang there. One split second and, he snapped his fingers, snap. It only takes a second to lose your temper. And that is all you need, a second, an instant, to form the intention to murder. In this courtroom, it is called malice aforethought. The conscious decision to kill, however quickly the intention forms, however briefly it is in the murderer's mind. First-degree murder can happen just like that.